Evening, y'all. Now it's time for you to sit back, chill out, and enjoy as KKFI 90.1 FM presents another episode of Kansas City's number one longest-running radio theater program, Shots in the Night.
Hello, and welcome to our holiday special. Tonight, we have a potpourri of songs and sketches and even a Christmas pageant. Well, a Christmas play for the radio. Bill Claus will tell us what an Easter icon thinks about Christmas, why we'll miss him during the holidays. We'll hear what's new at Salmonella Gourmet Foods by Roseanne Devine. And Roseanne also tells us how Dad dealt with the Christmas tree. We'll hear how time travel really works in a piece by Bill Claus. And finally, from Mary Wilkins, we'll hear how midnight calls can turn out all right. But first, let's listen to that pageant play for the radio. Here's Santa Strikes Back by Scott Turner.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Hiya, boys and girls. Yes, it's that time of year once again. A very special time where people are a little nicer, more thoughtful, and more giving. A wonderful time where people are shamed into trying to make up for all the rotten things they said and did the rest of the year. Yes, this is a strange way to start a Christmas story. But, boys and girls, we're living in a very strange age. In fact, and please don't get upset, this age stinks to high heaven. For outside this very special and wonderful time, more people are not only rotten towards each other, but they aren't even sorry about it. Which brings us to our story's hero, Santa Claus. Now all this rotten behavior makes Santa very, very sad. But up to now, Santa's always respected an individual's right to self-determination, so he never interfered. He just stuck to keeping records of everyone who was naughty or nice, and supervising his elves to make toys for hundreds of millions of good little children all over the world. And then his shop began to sink.
All right, people, we need to finish this last load of jumbo-sized spinning woogies for all the kiddies' parents in New England so they can relieve their holiday stress. Ho, ho, ho! Oh, me, oh, my! Settle down, everyone. Settle down. It's just the foundation on the south side.
Which south side, Santa?
The one pointed towards Greenland, Ralph. It's the first time for that one, so it balances the other seven a little bit.
Santa, the basement has a gaping fissure in the back of the gift wrap corral, and water is spilling in this time.
Is Dig Dug the maintenance man on it?
Well, he's trying to solder it with the liquid hydrogen gun, but he says he's running out. As much as he's had to patch these things up lately, his supply runs out too fast.
Yes, Pelfy, I'm afraid our ice sheet is melting more rapidly these days. And with our basement carved right into it, things are only going to get worse.
What can we do, Santa?
Grelf, you, Grelf, Fizz, Velfu, and Selfie, get online and connect to our hydrogen suppliers and score as much as you can. Pelfy, get Belfina, Zwelfod, Nelflix, and that new fellow whose name sounds like a psychotropic medication.
Delfoxamine?
Yes, that's him. Have them move that gift wrap to someplace dry. You go assist Dig Dug downstairs. Okay, attention, everybody. Attention! We have a bit of a mess downstairs, but don't worry. We're taking care of it. Ho, ho, ho. Now, everybody, please get back to work before we get behind schedule. For the love of Cindy Lou Who, now what? Quiet down, everybody, please. Oh, me, oh, my. Some of the flooring under the battery dispenser has given way. Now we'll have to evacuate, so everyone calmly and quietly file out your nearest exit. Drelf?
Yes, Santa?
Get the mobile winch, Mac, and help me move this sucker to solid flooring.
Santa! Santa, the basement ceiling just caved in on Dig Dug! I think he's dead!
You think? Confound it, Pelfy, you have medical training. Is he or isn't he?
He is. I'm sorry.
Oh, me. Oh. That does it. Climate change is destroying us, and the human race must make amends. There, there, Pelfy. Pull it together. Help me hook this up so we can move the dispenser and shut down.
Should we call that Inuit contractor again?
Yes. And while we're at it, let's get hold of the world's leaders for a special secret summit. It's time Santa Claus kicks some international tail. Ho, ho, ho!
Well, kids, it took some doing. Many leaders of the industrial nations thought Santa was being silly and wasting their time. But they finally came around. Santa got his meeting with everyone, except the President of the United States, who really loved fossil fuels, especially coal. So, Santa filled the first family's stockings, along with their bedrooms, bathrooms, closets, and swimming pool, with lots and lots of shiny black coal to play with. At the summit in Geneva, Switzerland, Santa patiently explained to the rest of the world's leaders that Arctic melting was wrecking his toy shop, and that the good little children of all their countries may not receive their presents this year.
So you all understand why I had to keep this away from the press. It would scare the dickens out of the kids, upset their parents, and possibly plunge global markets.
Missa Claus.
Please, Mr. President, call me Santa. Ho, ho, ho.
Very well. Santa, ho, ho, ho. We in China have been working diligently to remove coal and reduce fossil fuel consumption for some time. But we cannot do enough without the help of certain Western nations.
Meine Damen und Herren, we in Germany have contributed far more towards renewable energy goals, far more solar farms and wind turbines, with a clear goal towards 100% fossil and nuclear-free independence by 2030.
You have much smaller population than we.
And whose fault is that?
Well, what's done is done. Besides, we're not like Canada, extracting that tar and sand muck.
Oh, lighten up, eh? Tar sand petroleum isn't as dirty as the press makes it out to be. And anyway, Greasegrit Energy is one of Canada's top corporations. We just can't afford to lose their revenue.
Even if it threatens the rest of your natural resources and public health? In the long run, it could cost you a whole lot more.
They sell out to American imperialist oil industry, whose lucky-in-chief didn't even have the nerve to show his face here with the rest of us.
As opposed to what? The Chinese imperialist oil industry?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's quite enough of that. I know exactly what each and every one of your nations is up to. Now, let me remind you. My toy shop, which has operated 24/7, 365 for 1,600 years and has outperformed everyone everywhere in the children's holiday wish fulfillment industry, is sinking into the ocean. Relocating, building, and furnishing another toy shop with the capabilities to serve some 870 million children will cost nearly $14 billion, including the hiring of some 3,200 construction workers, plus living quarters and amenities to work in temperatures as low as 40 degrees Fahrenheit below zero for 5 years. Now, we might be able to put this off for a little while, but all nations must start to phase out fossil fuel consumption immediately. Then I go holly jolly belly up. And you all can explain to your kids why I won't be visiting them anymore. Ho, ho, ho. Now, you can ignore what's happening to your own homes, and you can ignore what's happening to our home in the North Pole, but dare you ignore Christmas?
Russia doesn't care about Christmas. They're trying to take the Arctic by military force, eh?
Yeah, hop on them a while, Santa. They're worse than anyone else about Christmas. Their children don't even like toys, just counterfeit school clothes, spy software, and vodka.
Russia?
Our children do so like toys.
You can't conquer the Arctic Circle.
But Santa, it is so loaded with oil. Our economy is always circling the ball, and drilling, spying, and bombing are the only things we're good at. We need the Arctic. We must have the Arctic. It is our destiny.
How much?
8 trillion rubles.
Will you take Bitcoin?
Da!
So, Santa's sucker paid the Russians to stop their exercises and withdraw their troops. Of course, he needed to persuade others to accept similar deals. But he really had to charm away everyone's interest in plundering the Arctic. Everyone except...
Now, what to do with America? I'll have to skip the government and speak with someone in charge. I think I'll pay the Kroc brothers a visit.
Craig and Darren Kroc, the two wealthiest, grinchiest industrialists in the world, along with a few of their not as wealthy but just as grinchy pals, they had bought and run the government for the past several years. As Santa looked upon the Kroc Estate Fortress, he figured if he could get through to them, he could get through to anybody. But it sure wouldn't be easy.
Oh me, oh my, these kids always were too much. Landmines, laser field, tiger traps, razor wire, and that's just to the front gate. Well, since I can't face them like adults, I'll do the old teleportation down the chimney bit. Ho, ho, ho!
And in half a second, Santa zipped through time and space over the Kroc's front gate, over 3 miles of electrically heated 140-degree desert, 4 miles of craggy, impenetrable, man-made hills, 5 miles of dense, steamy jungle teeming with venomous snakes and insects. Bear with me, I'm almost done here. And poison frogs and cranky panthers and jaguars, and 6 more miles of searing artificial desert. Whew! Right past the northern entrance of the 3.6 square mile, 287-room Kroc family mansion. Okay, so I'm not almost done. Over the rampart he sailed and so gallantly streamed down the third south by southeast wing chimney and straight into Craig Kroc's den, where he was wheeling and dealing on his laptop. Okay, now I'm done. Sorry about that.
Authorization of final agreement confirmed. And yes, we now own Amalgamated Industrial Food and Rubber. With only 8 days till Christmas, I should order the usual 30% labor cut at the Butterbutt Bakery in Sackcloth, Indiana, right now.
For shame, Craig. For shame.
Hey, hold up.
Now, Craigie, this is a family show.
Who are you and how the hoodoovie did you get in? Hoodoovie?
You can't swear in my cute little Christmas story, Craig. I've cast a spell on you so that whenever you try to say a swear word, something silly comes out.
Gongadangle. You tell me who the Fujumpa you are and how the Farquiji you got in. Holy shaddance, what am I saying?
Ho, 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 ho. I don't know, but it sure is funny. Ho, 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 ho. Oh, I'm not all that surprised you don't know me. You and your brother never did know me. Does the name Santa Claus ring the bell?
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're dressed like, Ankle Boo Boo. Gambingit, stop it!
Poor Craigie, you just can't stop swearing, can you? I really am Santa Claus. I know you don't believe that, but why don't you just sit back, relax, and let me do the talking for a while?
Look.
Gag rule in effect. I'm afraid I'll have to insist, son.
So, with Craig's mouth sealed, Santa spieled. And 50 seconds later...
So that's where we stand in the North Pole. Now, Craig... If you promise to be nice and polite, I'll unzip your lips. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take your word. You're Santa Claus. We can't just give up oil, natural gas, and coal. It would tank the economy.
Now, don't jerk my sleigh, Craig. You and other oil barons want to melt the Arctic on purpose so you can heave your ships and drilling equipment through more easily. You've had more than enough time and resources to divest toward clean energy, but you've been too greedy. So now I'm here to see that you and your brother and all the others finally get it done. I've lost a very fine maintenance man now, and I'm not about to lose any more.
Hey, Craig, did we close on Amalgamated? Hey, who the hell?
Well, kids, Santa had to go through the same crew-papa with Darren Kroc, the no-swearing talk and the zipper-mouth shtick included. But Darren was more thick-headed than his brother, and Santa was having trouble getting through to him.
Cooey, look, Santa, we've been at this for a really long time. Our daddy taught us everything about the family business and how to run it responsibly.
Darren, if you were running it responsibly, you wouldn't be buying elections, funding immense lobbies, and paying government officials to look the other way while you pollute the air, land, and water. I know about toxic clouds from refineries and frack wells, storage tanks that blow up, and leaky pipelines. I know price increases and tax dodges and eminent domain and skirting safety regulations. And I know when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake! What else did your daddy teach you kids?
Well, he taught us to stick it to the other guy before he sticks it to you, and not take crud off anybody.
Yeah, well, you're taking it off of me, so like the Yule log after the New Year, that one's up in smoke. And as far as sticking it to you, watch this.
Well, I'll be dipped in sheep slobber.
Darren Kroc, you are now Beatrisa, the big blue Bolivian ballerina bunny. Ho, ho, ho.
El verdadero artista dentro. Este es libero del hecho. Señores, I shall dance for you.
Marvelous! Exquisite! Say, Craigie, you should be proud to have Beatrice escort you to the next CPAC meeting. Ho, ho, ho!
I don't believe it. For God's sakes, change him back! Change him back!
If you and everyone else in your industry divest a quarter of your funds toward renewables right away, then perhaps, maybe next year...
Next year? He can't stay like that for a whole year.
I don't like this any more than you do. Conjuring is not what Santa Claus is supposed to be about. I haven't had to do it since the Black Death. But you two boys and your friends are destroying the futures of so many children. Children I love with all my heart, and I am going to stop it right now.
Look, Santa, I couldn't get everyone else on board. They just see it as gambling away massive fortunes. And it's not just our industry that causes climate change. There's agriculture, chemicals, mining, fishing, manufacturing, including toys. You just don't understand, Santa. This is bigger than all of us.
And all of them use machinery powered with fossil fuels. Look, I will help by visiting others, but you two are the most influential, and I do not believe that you can't make this happen. You know what I can make happen? I can reveal myself to the world and announce that the Kroc brothers are destroying Santa's toy shop, and almost a billion children will cry out to their parents, who in turn will turn on you.
There's no way he could pull that off. No one would believe you.
I have a motherload of evidence against all of you. I have 1,600 years in record-keeping experience under this big black patent leather belt. If you don't think I can... Then try me.
Hey, what are you doing? Santa's not supposed to grab...
And you can forget your flock of high-power legal eagles. They may be hot stuff, but they can't tie up the spirit of Christmas in court.
Put me down, Santa, please!
Ugh. You think I'm messing with you? I am not messing with you, my friend. 1 year. If I'm satisfied with your progress, you can have Darren back.
Oh, okay, Santa. We'll do it. Anything you say.
I'm so sorry I had to get medieval on you. Please don't make me do it again. And I'm sorry your father never gave you boys any praise or approval, but in his own way, he really did love you. And so do I. Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night!
And up the chimney and away he went. As soon as Craig overcame his Yuletide shock, he placed a call to the American Legislative Excrement Council. And do you know what he did, boys and girls? He pushed a market-based re-evaluation of energy policy that incorporates increased investment in renewable technology while gradually phasing out fossil fuel production. Others that Santa had visited eagerly got on board. How's that for a Christmas miracle? Back at the North Pole, Santa was hosting the two lucky winners of his Visit Santa's Toy Shop lottery. It's an unusual lottery where the entrants don't even know they're in it. The qualifications? You have to be a child from an unhappy home. You have to be loving and giving all year long. And you have to believe in Santa Claus and the spirit of Christmas. Yes, it does sound like gushing sentimental tripe. But after dealing with the world's leaders, Santa needed some downtime with the kids. And what would a Santa Claus story be without kids? Well, in this case, shorter. Anyway, this year's picks were a little girl from a wealthy, bitterly divorced family and a little boy whose family was facing eviction. Through the tour of Santa's shop, they had become fast friends. When it was over, they all sat and talked.
Well, Janelle, Hector, did you enjoy the tour?
We sure did, Santa. You have so many great things here. And the elves work so fast. And they're so cute, too.
And don't they just know it? Ho, ho, ho.
So is your toy shop going to be okay?
Why, sure, Hector. But no matter what happens, it's only a building. My elves and I will never stop making toys, even if we have to carve everything by hand around the clock in giant igloos.
Did you stop climate change, Santa?
Of course. These cute Christmas stories always have a super happy ending, and right now I can't think of a happier one. Besides, this one's getting short on time, so yes, Santa Claus headed off climate change and saved the planet. Ho, ho, ho.
Yay! Yay! Woohoo! Good job, Santa. We love you, Santa.
And I love you, kids.
Is anything wrong, Santa?
No, kids. I'm just a little tired. I had to cast spells on a few hard cases the other day, you know, to save the planet. I can do them well enough, but it takes a lot out of me. So does constantly reminding people about the spirit of Christmas, a job that seems to get tougher every year. And though I've been around a very long time, well, I'm hardly immortal.
What does that mean? Immortal.
That's not important, Hector. What I'm getting at is, I may have to retire someday, and I really could use a couple of apprentices to take over the shop.
You mean us?
Yes.
Wow, Santa. We'd love to. But we'll have to get our parents' permission.
Janelle, I'm sorry, but if you and Hector agree to this, you can't go back home. Your families can't know about this. It's very complicated, but the fewer people who know about our shop, the better. That's why we're not on Google Earth.
You mean we just leave our families and never see them again?
That's right, Hector.
Well, my parents ignore me a lot, but if I just disappeared forever, well, they would hurt so much.
But think of all the joy you could spread around the world. And when it's not sinking into the melting ice, this shop is such a wonderful place to work. So rich with love and good cheer.
But my family needs me. We all need each other right now. I just can't, Santa. Sorry.
I have to go back too, Santa. I'd love to be an apprentice, but...
Oh, that's quite all right, kids. It pleases me to know how devoted you are to your families, in spite of everything. It's part of why you won the tour.
Couldn't the elves be apprentices?
The elves are the finest, most loyal workers one could hope for, but I'm afraid they're just not suited to managing the shop and making deliveries. They're rather what Oompa Loompas are to Willy Wonka.
Hey, Santa, why don't you pick kids without families? You know, orphans.
Helping orphans find families is more in keeping with the Christmas spirit. Orphans need families more than I need apprentices.
But couldn't you and the elves be like their family?
It's not the same thing. Besides, we need to wrap up here. I have a lot of toys to deliver, and I need to take you two back home. Ho, ho, ho.
The orphan thing sounds like a loose end.
My stories always have loose ends. Such are the vagaries of Santa Claus.
What?
Say, kids, while I'm running you home, how would you like to help me make some deliveries to each of your towns?
Why, yeah!
Yeah! Could we? That'd be awesome!
That would be great! Yay.
Well, all right, then. Let's go! Ho, 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 ho!
Ho, 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 ho!
Don't do that.
Geez, I thought that scene would go on for the rest of my life. Santa and the kids had a wonderful time delivering toys. Like all the other kids before them, it was fun for Janelle and Hector to see what all their friends were getting, though not quite as fun for Hector since all his friends are poor. So, boys and girls, what are we to take from this cute Christmas story? 1. Santa Claus is a great guy who's doing a heck of a job. 2. We're not much help in spreading joy around the world. 3. Like most of the rest of us, Santa waited until the Shaddits hit him where he lived before flying into action. And 4. The children are our future until they grow up and become our present, which, as I said before, stinks to high heaven. But hey, we got family, togetherness, spirit, all that. So be good, will ya? For goodness sake. You know, harmony. Harmony boosts GDP growth. Not many know that. And if you have to stick it to someone, please, stick it with love. At the risk of offending certain people, happy holidays.
Asked my sweetheart what she wanted for Christmas. She said a one-way ticket anywhere. Nantucket to Timbuktu, Peoria to Kathmandu, any place long as I wasn't there. You really hurt my feelings, sugar pie, please tell me you don't mean it. Honey, please don't leave me all alone. You know you haven't thought it through, all the things I've done for you. You're gonna miss me when you go. Cause who's gonna peel your banana, percolate your morning brew? And who's gonna fry your eggs up sunny side just like you like them to be so runny? And who's gonna fetch your newspaper? They turned and folded you so. Hear my words now when I say you're bound to rue the day you're gonna miss me when you go. Rearrange your sock drawer so neatly. Put the cap on your toothpaste too. You can be so messy, and who picked up your room? Lord God, when it was strewn, socks, towels, and underwear, and things I can't mention. Fashion advice on your wardrobe. You can't wear that. Accessories, hairstyle too. You need me to show the way to burnish your feng shui. You're gonna miss me when you go. Now you say I smother you and it's so cloying, but I don't know what that word means. Honey lips, I know that I wanna stick right by your side, through the thick and through the lean, every second in between. Now who's gonna keep you on your schedule? Organize your travel bag just so. Honey, I can't believe you really wanna leave. Please say it isn't so, you don't really wanna go. Why don't we stay right here? We'll share some Christmas cheer. You're gonna miss me when you go. Honey lips? Sugar dump, where you sugar dumping? Where you going, sugar dump? Come back.
Hi, folks. Bill Salmonella here. Our Viande du Jour gourmet food trucks, located at road stops just outside the city limits, have enjoyed a successful summer providing travelers with meat products not found in your local supermarket or butcher shop. If your taste runs to squirrel, possum, skunk, venison, snake, armadillo, or crow, flag down a Viande du Jour gourmet food truck. If your wife says, "What's that smell? Something cooking? I just can't place that smell," follow your nose and it'll lead you to a Viande du Jour gourmet food truck. And remember, Salmonella Viande du Jour Gourmet Foods is a humane after-kill industry. Your food is dead, but we didn't do it.
When I was 5 years old, I came to the conclusion that there was no Santa. But I pretended to believe for 2 more years because I didn't want to disappoint my father, who I was sure believed devoutly in Santa Claus. Being a sensitive child, I didn't want to tell my dad that it was Mom who put those gifts under the tree. I knew it would crush him to find out. So I pretended. When my sister Pat turned 5, she got wise and the truth came out. Pat was no nonsense, and she didn't care who gave the toys as long as she got hers. And she simply could not believe that a 30-year-old man was dumb enough to believe in Santa. Dad survived the disappointment and turned his holiday energies to creative things like decorating the tree. It was the same routine every year. We got a nice 6-foot Douglas fir. Dad hauled the boxes from the upstairs closet. Mom strung the lights, and Dad gave us instruction on how to place the ornaments. Large ones and homemade ones to fill the bare spots, the fancy glass up high where they wouldn't get broken, and others to fill in the middle. After the garland was swagged, Mom headed to the kitchen to make cocoa, and Dad brought out the tinsel. Oh, the dreaded tinsel. Dad would select a few dozen strands from the cardboard and carefully drape them through our outstretched fingers. He would show us how to select one strand, shake it gently to untangle it from the others, and lay it over the end of a branch. One silver tinsel strand at a time. He would watch us get started and then make his way to the other side of the tree. One strand at a time. Every year the same routine, and every year Pat, who had the patience of an 8-year-old, would begin hurling fistfuls of tinsel at the upper branches. Now, I always identified my dad with TV fathers. He didn't sit on the porch strumming a guitar like Andy Taylor. He didn't call us kitten and princess like Jim Anderson. My dad was like Danny Williams. Remember Make Room for Daddy? Danny Thomas played this caring but volatile father. I thought my dad was a lot like that. Anyway, back to the tree. Pat was hurling tinsel globs at my father's elegant creation, and Dad came barreling around the tree yelling at her. Pat would plop onto the sofa in a pout, and as if on cue, Mom would emerge with cocoa, saying, "Jean, will you just let it go? But she's throwing tinsel at the tree. Let it go. She's 8 or 9 or 7. It didn't matter since it happened every year. And it's Christmas. Now drink your cocoa." He loved sweets. And by the time our marshmallow mustaches were licked off our faces, everybody was laughing. Someone would turn on the tree lights, and we'd look at the tree in the midst of the paper and boxes and leftover bulbs. And we'd all smile, knowing in our hearts that Santa was coming.
You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus. I hate that fat man. And I hate Christmas. Christmas music. Christmas movies. Christmas concerts. Christmas cards. Christmas decorations. Christmas lights. Christmas stockings. Christmas music. Christmas gifts. Christmas candy. Christmas music. Christmas candles. Christmas commercials. Did I happen to mention Christmas music? Hour after hour and day after day on TV, radio, grocery stores, office buildings, everywhere on the radio dial. Christmas pop, Christmas folk, Christmas country, Christmas jazz, Christmas blues, Christmas rock and roll. Like that friggin' Jingle Bell Rock played every year on the radio for 60 years. 60 years since 1957. 1957, the heyday of Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee, Little Richard, Fats Domino, Chuck Berry. And Jingle Bell Rock becomes the immortal song from that year? You call that rock and roll? Really? Have you heard Led Zeppelin? Now at this point, you may be thinking, gee, he seems to be lacking in that good old Christmas spirit. Well, you got that right. Allow me to introduce myself. Cottontail's the name? Peter Cottontail. Or for the more religiously inclined, the Easter Bunny. Remember me? Easter Bunny? Easter? Ring a bell? And I don't mean jingle bells. You know, I just don't get it. At its core, Christmas is about what? The birth of a new baby. Now, don't misunderstand. Newborns are precious. I love babies, even though I do tend to scare the hell out of them. But here's the thing. There are 7,400,000,000 male and female Homo sapiens on this planet. Newborn babies are not exactly rare. But hey, Easter, we're talking about raising a man from the dead. Oh, me and Easter used to be a big deal. Easter bonnets, Easter parades, Easter services, Easter picnics, strolling down the avenue. But nowadays, Christmas begins around Labor Day and lasts for 3 solid friggin' months. Well, I'm lucky to get 15 minutes Easter morning. Oh, kids, you used to love me. Not anymore. Now I'm about as popular as chocolate-covered rabbit pellets. And who can blame them? The fat man brings them bicycles, iPads, digital games, smartphones, pool tables, flat-screen TVs, motorcycles. What do I have to work with? A handful of jelly beans and a hollow chocolate bunny filled with stale air. I don't even rate solid chocolate. But the main attraction, the big kahuna, the gift we've all been waiting for, the pièce de résistance, hard-boiled eggs. I'm supposed to win the minds of little kitties with hard-boiled eggs. Consider what I'm up against. The children were nestled all snug in their beds with visions of day-old hard-boiled eggs dancing in their heads. Yeah, nothing makes little Johnny's heart go pity-pat like the anticipation of biting into that bland, shiny white, food-stained, tasteless, gelatinous global glob down to the special prize center filling. Creamy nugget, perhaps? Not exactly. A dry, yellow, chalk-like, pasty, sickly green-covered yolk that sticks to the roof of your mouth till you scrape it off with your tongue so you can swallow the offending mess before the gag reflex steps in. Yum, yum. And not just one hard-boiled egg either. Oh, no. Let's give the kitties a whole basket full. Better yet, let's hide them so they can pretend like they're searching for buried treasure. Consider. You find a dropped piece of Christmas candy cane in January, and what do? Dust off the carpet hairs, pop it in your mouth. Perfectly edible, perfectly enjoyable. Find an overlooked hard-boiled egg. Quick, grab the Febreze. All right, I understand the history. Springtime, planting of crops, the birds and the bees, rabbits, eggs, fertility, sex. I get it. But for those of you who haven't studied the issue, let me clue you in. Rabbits are mammals. We don't lay eggs. Especially rabbits named Peter. Where did these geniuses study biology? What's the matter you with Rocky and Bullwinkle? Oh, I understand. I am a sex symbol. A sex god. I mean, have you seen the size of my paws? But how in the world did the tradition ever evolve to tell our smallest children that an oversized, rodent-like sex symbol would be sneaking into their bedroom at night to hide fertility symbols? I'm surprised they don't all have nightmares. So yes, while Santa Claus gets all the love and adoration and major motion pictures and jolly Mrs. Claus and flying reindeer and charmed elves and magic sleighs, I get a lousy basket full of hard-boiled eggs and one stinking song written way back in 1949. Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its way. What an emasculating song for a sex god.
Hi, folks. Bill from Salmonella Viande du Jour Gourmet Foods here to introduce you to my enterprising sons, Mike and Mark.
Hi!
The boys have embarked on an exciting food venture that has all the earmarks of success. Mike, why don't you tell the story?
Well, Mark and me were down at Uncle Ollie's salvage yard, rooting around when we came across this old Good Humor pushcart. We figured we could fix it up and use it for, you know, our reuse, renew, recycle project for class.
Yeah, we recycled it and renewed it to reuse it for class. But then we had a better idea.
Instead of frozen ice cream, we're filling it with nearly fresh fish and other river edibles.
We got crawdads and worms and minnows and gar and some stuff, I don't know what it is, but it floated by with the carp.
And speaking of carp, we want to give a shout-out to our cousin, Ron Salmonella, who gave us the idea for carp on a stick. We're still trying to work out the details.
Because carp don't stick.
On a stick, but it'll stick to your ribs. Just think about it. Carp satay. Just pull it from your freezer and stick it on your grill. Mmm.
Thanks, boys. My mouth is watering already. You know, carp gets a bad rap as a bottom feeder. But the carp my boys use are not from the bottom of the river. No siree. They are plucked from the top of the water as they float by and plunged immediately into the Mike and Mark frozen foods cart. Carp on a stick is just one jolly way to enjoy this oft-maligned fish. A big thanks to Cousin Ron, who is currently indisposed. Doctor says it may be something he ate. Get well soon, Cousin Ron. And remember, Mike and Mark's nearly fresh frozen fish is a humane, after-kill industry. Your fish is dead, but we didn't do it.
There, last adjustment. Behold, Muriel, one of the greatest scientific breakthroughs of all time.
Wow. Will it work?
Well, I've refined, checked, and rechecked my calculations. Chances of success is 98.87% plus or minus 0.135%. A near certainty.
Wow. A time machine. Eat your heart out, H.G. Wells. But time travel, it sounds so improbable.
More like inevitable to a physicist. Decades ago, our quantum physics mathematical models taught us that there's no rational basis to believe that the time vector can travel in only one direction. So when I discovered the final missing variable factor in the Einstein-Rosen bridge...
Einstein-Rosen bridge?
A wormhole to laymen, or laywomen. Anyway, the results are right in front of you. See that red button?
Yeah.
One touch of that button, and you change history forever. You and I will become the first two humans to travel back in time.
Wow, fantastic. How exciting. How far back will we go? To the dinosaurs?
Oh, nothing quite that dramatic.
The American Revolution?
Well, not that far.
The Civil War? Hey, we can stop John Wilkes Booth.
Still too far.
World War II, then. We can track down and kill Hitler.
I'm afraid you're getting a little ahead of yourself. Hey, I think I just made a joke.
How far back, then? 10 years?
No.
5 years?
Nope.
One?
Not quite.
How far back, then?
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Well, 10.331, to be exact.
10 seconds? Is that all?
Well, 10.331, that's all for now.
Well, that's disappointing.
Disappointing? Disappointing? This 10-second small step for mankind will make Neil Armstrong's giant leap look like a baby step. Going backwards by 10.331 seconds will be the greatest leap forward in history. Think of it. We will be the first human beings to time travel. Yes, it's only 10.331 seconds now. But after this successful trial run, we'll make adjustments and it will permit us to travel to any time we like. The day before yesterday, 200 years, 1,000, 1,000,000 years. Think of the possibilities, the research, the chance to correct the big mistakes of human history, and personal acclaim. The Nobel Prize in Physics, it'll be like a trinket to the honors and accolades coming our way. One push of that button, and the future of time travel will be like a blazing bright star in our future. Ready to change history forever, Muriel? On my countdown now. 3, 2, 1.
This is so exciting.
Now, hit it. One push of that button, and the future of time travel will be like a blazing bright star in our future. Ready to change history forever, Muriel? On my countdown now. 3, 2, 1.
This is so exciting.
Now, hit it. One push of that button, and the future of time travel will be like a blazing bright star in our future. Ready to change history forever, Muriel? On my countdown now. 3, 2, 1.
This is so exciting.
Now, hit it. One push of that button, and the future of time travel will be like a blazing bright star in our future. Ready to change history forever, Muriel? On my countdown now. 3.
Santa Claus has a rocket sleigh getting ready to zoom away on his first trip into space.
That's your phone.
Hello? Oh, what time is it?
It's me, Gina.
It's 2:45 a.m.
Shh, go back to sleep.
Please, Mom, just listen.
Just a minute. I'm getting up.
Mom, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, you've made a mistake.
I know, a terrible mistake.
Wait, Gina.
Please, I have to say this. You were right about Jake.
Jake?
Mom, you said he was scum, and you were right. I can't trust him. And he wanted me to do things.
What kind of things?
It doesn't matter. I got out of there.
Are you safe?
Yeah.
You got away?
Yes, I'm at Stacy's house.
Oh, that's good.
Are you still mad at me?
I'm not mad.
And when I said that I never wanted to see you again, I didn't mean it.
I'm sure you didn't.
You kept calling, and I'm sorry I blocked you. Can I come home?
It's nearly Christmas.
I know.
Can you be home for Christmas?
Yes. Yeah, that would be great. And I promise, I'll be the best daughter you ever had.
Where are you? Do you need a ride?
Stacy's dad will bring me in the morning.
Good.
If that's okay.
Yes.
Mom, I wasn't sure. I didn't think you would want me.
Oh, Gina? Promise that you'll call back if you need me.
I will.
You've got the number in your phone.
I know the number.
Of course you do, sweetie.
Sorry I woke you up.
No, I'm glad you called. If you're sure you're okay, I'm going back to sleep now.
Get your beauty rest, Mom. See you soon.
Bye, Gina.
Honey, who was that?
Gina.
Who's Gina?
Wrong number.
Wrong number?
No. It was the right number. A girl named Gina called, and she'll be home for Christmas.